I'd like to ask you all to join me in prayer this morning as we begin. I'm going to do things slightly different than normal, so please don't get upset by it. I'm not going to have you stand when we read the Scripture here in a minute, because the way I'm going to do things, it would just interrupt the flow. I know that's something we've been doing so long, it's almost, I see some of you jump up as soon as I get up, and I love that. But I wanted to save you some exercise today, and so I want to begin in prayer, if you would join me. God, we come this morning because You are an awesome, incredible, mighty God. We've sung Your praises because that's really all we can do. But we're here this morning because we need to hear from You. We need to hear Your voice. We need to know the power of Your Spirit in our lives. Lord, most of us are here because we love You and we want to serve You. We want to change Your country. We want to turn people's hearts to You. But Father, these things only happen through the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we're seeking that Spirit today. We're longing for a renewal and a revival of Your greatness and the acknowledgement of You, this country, and in our world. So Lord, we're turning these moments over to You. We're ready to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may have realized, some of you may not, but our life, our journey, is an adventure in learning. I mean, from the moment we're conceived, we start the process of gathering and gaining information. Most of us probably don't think about it because most of us probably don't remember being in the womb, but in reality, scientists have proven that even in the womb, we begin to build a catalog of sensations, movement, sounds, sensations that we begin to grow in our knowledge of. After we're born, we start a rather serious process of learning. I mean, we learn sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. And on top of that, we learn motor skills. Most of you can remember, if you don't remember doing it yourselves, you remember watching little children begin to take to crawl. And then take their first steps. Those motor skills are learning how to walk, how to balance, how to throw things, and then learning how to do many of those all at the same time. Some of us still have trouble with that. But all of this learning, all of this process is the accumulation of knowledge. The accumulation of wisdom. Our greatest level of learning involves not just knowing things, but applying those things. Thinking. The learning of knowledge, the gaining of information, and we start the process as we learn a language. You know, the amazing thing about little children is I don't care what environment you put them in, they can pick up the language just like that. If you wanted to do it and you wanted your child to be multilingual, All she would have to do is take them to different countries around the world and keep them there just long enough, and before you could even do it, they would know all those languages. We have that ability to gather wisdom and use it. And we learn to talk and we learn to reason by processing factual data. And this level of learning is something that we do throughout our whole lives. We continue to build wisdom. We continue to grow in our knowledge. In fact, we're creatures driven to know. How many times do you have to stop your child from getting into something they shouldn't get into because they're curious? They want to know. And as adults, we don't stop wanting to know. We're constantly gaining information. You can drive down the road and gain information. It's called billboards. Some of it's true, some of it's not. It doesn't matter. You're gaining information. I don't even know if the magazine still exists because I don't pay attention to it and never did, but there used to be a magazine called the National Enquirer, and its advertising was "Inquiring Minds Want to Know." Well, what were they banking on? They were banking on our curious nature. They were banking on our desire to have information. And unfortunately, most of the information they put out wasn't reliable. But that was beside the point. And it's this quest for knowledge that drives humanity to succeed at levels most people never imagined we could exceed at. I mean, do you realize that just 100 years ago, when did the Model T come out? 1908? Is that about right? So about 101 years ago, we had the first car. Most of us don't remember that. In fact, I would venture to bet that most of us weren't there when that happened. But the truth is, our technology just has expanded in 100 years just so much beyond what any of us could have dreamed. I mean, 100 years ago, if you wanted to travel somewhere, it took weeks, days, or months, or all of the above. And now you can talk to somebody on the other side of the globe simultaneously with somebody next door. Knowledge has expanded. And it's this quest for knowledge which was part of Satan's temptation of Eve. You'll remember what he told her was that if she ate of the fruit, she would gain the knowledge of good and evil so that she would be like God. Oh, the desire to be like God. Eve took him up on the temptation and she discovered she was smarter. What she discovered was God was good and she was evil because she had disobeyed God. The problem was the learning curve wasn't what Satan had predicted. She was not like God. She just knew she wasn't. But man has been falling for Satan's false promise of a greater learning curve ever since. Much of man's push for learning is still the drive, the desire to be like God, to know, to be able to depend on His abilities. Maybe even to become God. This quest for knowledge, don't get me wrong, is not all bad. It has its good side. I mean, it has led man to many brilliant and wonderful discoveries. Some of the greatest and findings were made by men who were led by God. One of the men that I studied when I was a younger man was a guy by the name of George Washington Carver, who discovered a lot of things about the peanut. But where did he get his wisdom? When you ask him, I didn't ask him, I didn't know him personally, he was a few years before my time, but when people did ask him, he would tell them he got his knowledge from God. Because he went to God and said, God, show me what there is to know about the peanut. And he made brilliant discoveries that we use even to this day. And this knowledge has done a lot towards saving mankind from ravages of disease. It's taught us better ways to live, better ways to travel. It's done much to improve our quality of life. And always, the right knowledge is beneficial to man. Always. As long as the knowledge comes from God. The problem comes when man tries to trust in man's wisdom and not trust in God's wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book we're going to be, just as a side note, this is free, I'll throw it in. But on Sunday nights, we're going to be studying our way through the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It was known as wisdom literature. And it was dedicated to the issue of learning. It was dedicated to the issue of right learning. Okay? It's one of those books which was designed to help man improve his lot in life. It's full of the right kind of knowledge. It's a collection of wise sayings that were gleaned from the experiences of man which, if they're listened to, if they're applied to your life, it will help one live a better, more productive life. But it's also one of those books that if you ignore the wisdom, you're going to learn those lessons in the school of hard knocks. You're going to learn those lessons the hard way, and it's going to be a painful lesson because the wisdom that is in the book of Proverbs has been consistent down through the ages. Because it's God's truth. It never changes. It always applies to man's situation. This wisdom of the ages that is in Proverbs consists of truths which are reliable in teaching those who are inexperienced but teachable. It's reliable in teaching them the proper ways to live their lives. Well, in its opening statements, we're given an explanation for the purpose of this collection. If you look at the first six verses explaining who collected these sayings and why these sayings are important, part of its purpose, according to the Zondervan New International Version Bible Commentary, says it's helpful to help the disciple to acquire discernment. Well, discernment is what helps a person know how to make right choices in life. Discernment is how we make wise decisions. If you look at the first chapter of Proverbs, the first six verses are explaining the purpose, and then you jump into the seventh verse, and it kind of stands alone. It doesn't go necessarily with the first six, and it doesn't necessarily go with the next few verses. But it is a verse that says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now why is this truth so important? Why does this simple statement measure up to being wisdom of the ages? Why is it important? Well, I want us to look at some reasons. Because it's the key to understanding the book of Proverbs. First thing we noticed is this verse points to the right attitude for learning. You know, as human beings, we can learn anything we choose to learn. Anything we set our minds to learning, God has given us the capacity to learn. That's why we've been able to accomplish so many incredible developments in technology and other things, because the human mind has infinite capacity that we haven't even fathomed yet. Infinite in the sense that we haven't used it all. Finite in the sense that there isn't much to it. But man is able to do many, many things. But the statement says that learning begins at a certain point. And it's not in man's capacity. Learning begins with the fear of the Lord. The word fear means to dread or be terrified. It means standing in awe of or having reverence for. And literally, All of those things apply to the beginning of learning. If you do not fear God, you're not going to learn some of the lessons you need to learn from Him. If you are not terrified of His judgment, you're not going to pay attention to some of the lessons that He has for you to learn. But if you are not in awe and in reverence of who He is, you're going to miss out on insights that explain the beauty and the grace and the mercy of our God. Referring to a recognition of our rightful place, the fear of the Lord. Well, the fear of the Lord begins as we understand our need for Him. As we understand that as God's created beings, He deserves our respect and our gratitude. That we owe Him obedience. You know what, folks? Obedience is not an option with God. It is not something we can choose to do or not to do. Because He is God, He has the right to demand obedience. He's just nice enough not to demand it. Not in the way that we would expect. I mean, not like parents that say, you will do this or else. Because if He was that kind of God, most of us would be Krispy Critters. Because that's what we do to our children if they don't do it or else. You know, we punish them, we discipline them. But our God is a loving God and He's a benevolent God. And even though we owe Him obedience, He allows us not to do it and suffer the consequences. The place where learning begins is when a person gives God the respect He is due and a worshipful obedience to what He has said. By a person humbling himself before the Almighty with a grateful heart. James 4:10 tells us, humble yourselves before the Lord and what? He will lift you up. Isn't it amazing that to get to the greatest position you can get to, you have to get on your knees? If you want the highest heights of wisdom and learning, it starts by getting on your knees. The right attitude for learning is a humble spirit. It's a spirit which recognizing its need for God and for the wisdom that God can provide. A humble spirit recognizes his need for God's grace and mercy. A humble person recognizes his need for a Savior. One to rescue him from his sin and failure. A humble person can see his shortcomings. He understands his desperate position of lostness and the fact that there is no hope in his own strength. But the only hope he has is in a God that's greater. The proud person will not see his need. If you look at Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Pride and humility, they're opposites. You know, Jesus told a story once about two men who went up to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, the most religious of the religious. Notice I didn't say he was a believer. He was just the most religious of the religious. The second was a tax collector. And in Jesus' story, as he's telling this story, the Pharisee stood up to pray and he began to tell God how good he was. And how much he had done. But the tax collector stood in the corner. And he wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he pleaded with God for mercy. Jesus said the tax collector went away justified. Why? Because he was humbled before God. He recognized his need. He saw his situation and he saw that he couldn't be saved, so he called out to the one who could save him. Isaiah 33, 5-7 says, the Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your time, the rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And then he says, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. What is he saying? He's saying God has all these great riches, all this great wealth, all this great wisdom that people can access. But the key to accessing it is through humility. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the key that unlocks God's treasures of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And the right attitude for learning has a starting point. And it's the point of our need. The point of realizing we need a Savior. That we've sinned and fallen short of God's plan and design for us. And that we've all failed to obey Him. And when we accept His Son's sacrifice for our sins, we learn the true meaning of love and life. We gain wisdom for living according to God's plan. We gain His Spirit to guide our hearts. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of learning. But the second thing this verse points out is the main obstruction to learning. There is something that will stop that learning from occurring. Second part of the verse says, "But fools despise wisdom and discipline." The word fool describes someone who is dull and ignorant, morally insensitive. It's a picture of many people today. It's a picture of someone who lives life mainly for themselves with little regard for others, not even God. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." You look at America today and you wonder, how many people really take God seriously? You wonder how many people are really, really listening to the Word of God and living a life because of the things that are happening in our world. A fool will not acknowledge his need. He's the captain of his own ship, the master of his own destiny. He's in control of his life, and no one can tell him different, not even God. He's proud of his accomplishments, living life for all he can get out of it, not concerned with about eternity. He trusts his own abilities to get himself by. He can be religious, just like that Pharisee. He can talk to God and he can tell God about all the things he's done. The one thing he can't do is humble himself before the Almighty. Proverbs 28:26 describes such a person with these words. He says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool." The one who depends on his own wisdom, who depends on his own strength, is a fool. I didn't say that. Don't quote me on that, okay? God said it. He who doesn't trust in himself will not learn. He'll miss the point. He will miss out on the meaning of life and love. He will never realize how much God cares for him or wants to help him. Because to himself, he's sufficient. The main obstruction to learning is pride. It keeps one from humbling themselves before Almighty God. It keeps a person blind to their own faults. The amazing thing about that person is they can always see anybody else's faults. They just can't see their own. That Pharisee in prayer was standing there saying, "Oh, look at what I've done, God. I'm so much better than even this sinner over here." He could see every fault but his own. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, guess what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We miss out on the truth of God. The main obstruction to learning is an attitude which says, "It's not necessary to do God's will. We don't need to do God's way. It's not going to hurt if I violate His laws, because His laws don't really matter." It's the attitude which puts one under the law of sin and death. It's the attitude which sends one into eternity destined to be separate from Almighty God because they reject Jesus Christ. Well, there's a third thing this verse points out. And it points out the right purpose for learning. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Brahman Bible Commentary says the word "beginning" probably carries with it both the idea of a starting point, but also the essence of ultimate purpose. In other words, the fear of the Lord is where it all begins and where it all ends. Fear of the Lord is where knowledge, wisdom, and instruction all come together. It's the place where a person learns how to choose between right and wrong. It's the place where a person discovers how to wisely conduct himself in the affairs of life. It's the place where a person becomes skilled at walking in righteousness and realizes how to treat others with justice. Place of right living. Exodus 20:20 said, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to do what? To keep you from sinning." Fear of the Lord will keep us from sinning. Psalm 11:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding." Psalm 112:1 says, "Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commandments." See, the fear of the Lord is where we learn to love the Word of God. In our reverence and respect for Him, we love to listen to what He has to say. The right purpose for learning is so a person can be discerning in how he lives his life, so he will know how to steer a right course through life, so he can live a life which is pleasing to God, which is fitting and proper in making decisions worthy of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The right purpose for learning involves the finding out of how to walk in the Holy Spirit so that we can walk holy before a holy God. In our world today, there's 5.8 billion people who do not know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They don't have that relationship with God where they reverence and respect Him. They don't have that knowledge of that they need to humble themselves before a holy God who created their universe. These are people who have not acknowledged or confessed their sin before God, and they don't understand His grace. 5.8 billion people do not know the fear of the Lord. It's possible that you're here today and you're one of those 5.8 billion. It's possible that you're here today and God brought you here to give you the opportunity to humble yourself before Him. It's possible that His Spirit is speaking to your heart right now and saying that you need the wisdom of the ages, that the fear of the Lord is where it all starts. Well, if that's your need, we want to offer you the opportunity. We want to give you the chance to accept God's grace. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing a song, and it'll be your opportunity to come to the front and let me explain to you personally how to humble yourself before a holy God. Maybe you're here today, and at one point in your life, you took that step where you said you wanted the fear of the Lord, where you wanted to know God. But somewhere along the line, you just got sidetracked. You started counting on yourself. You started depending on your own strength. You started recognizing that you could get along pretty good without God. But today He's telling you you missed the boat. Well, our invitation time is your opportunity to come to God and say, "Look, I blew it. I want to get back on track." As we stand and we sing, you can come forward and you can tell God you're sorry. You can tell Him you want to walk in His ways again. Maybe you're a guest today. This is not your church home where your membership is, but you feel God saying to you, "This is the place I want you to serve. This is the place I want you to be. This is the place where you can learn of my wisdom." We want to give you that opportunity as well, and our invitation time is always the chance for someone to say they want to be a member of this church. So as we stand and as we sing, if God has spoken to you about one of these needs, will you come?